First Thessalonians chapter 5, we're looking at a very familiar verse in this chapter. Verse number 18, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Matt Weber tells a story of how there's a Christian youth group who went to minister on a mission field, I believe it was in the Caribbean. And in this island, there was a leper colony. And this group of young people and their pastor went to this leper colony and were holding a service there in the leper colony. And, of course, with leprosy, it's a very sad, hideous situation. As people, the disease starts at your extremities and people begin to lose different parts of their body, whether it be the fingers or the toes and the ears, the nose, mouth, I mean, the extremities, and then just keep progressing. They were having this service at the leper colony. And so they're having a service, and the pastor asked for some testimonies. And there was a girl at the very back row. And actually, she kind of looked away most of the time. She was looking away, so he couldn't really see who she was. But she was looking away, and she raised her hand, and he called on her, and she turned around. And the sight of her was just unbelievable. He just couldn't hardly look at her. It was such a hideous sight. And maybe that's why she was turning around so nobody would see her. But he raised her hand and he recognized her. And very joyfully, this leper girl said, "I am so thankful." I don't know what she said, but something like, "I am so thankful for the Lord, and I love him so much. He has been so good to me." And fact, the pastor had to leave the service for a couple minutes because he was just so overwhelmed with her gratefulness. And his own thoughts of how he would have very difficult to have that joyful spirit under those circumstances. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse 1, it says maybe we should turn there. Psalm 33. Psalm 33 uses a word, uses the word comely. Now, it doesn't mean come along, like come along, but comely is the same word that we get becoming from. And comely is a Bible word that means very appropriate, very adorning, very beautifying. It is something that is beautiful to see. And in Psalm 33 and verse 1, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." God is saying, you know, there's something that is very, very beautiful. Something that is very becoming. Something that is very sweet. And it says, praise is comely. Thankfulness is a precious thing. I always think of the fact that perhaps one of the sweetest services throughout the years has been our Thanksgiving service. A time when people, mainly this service is mainly people giving testimony of why they are thankful to God. The Bible tells us that thankfulness is a very precious thing. But on the other hand, the Bible tells us that the last days will be characterized by unthankfulness. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And here it gives us the characteristics of society in the last days. And as we read this passage of scripture, you ought to kind of take a mental note of these things and see if perhaps this is a alert to the day in which we live. And it's also it's one of those passages of scripture where we would say it's in the air. It's in the air. This is the way it is today. It's in the air. It's a part of the thinking of the last days. It's also saying it hasn't always been like this. It's also saying this isn't normal. This isn't normal. But this is what it says the last days will be like. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times or very dangerous days shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. The day of the selfie. Think that's an accident? Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection. There's abortion. Truce breakers. False accusers, incontinent, in other words, no self-control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, no normal loyalty, heady, conceited, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. We're going to just park on just one characteristic of the last days. Unthankful. You know, we live in an unthankful age. We live in an unthankful time. But that's the way it is. That's the spirit that's in the air. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 1. about the problem of unthankfulness. Romans chapter 1. We'll read a few verses, beginning with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, it doesn't take much to look in the sky and see that everything's pretty orderly out there. The moon was a few thousand feet closer to the earth, it would crash into the earth. If the sun was left its orbit, or the planets left their orbit, all the doomsday movies would be happening every day. But everything's orderly out there. It's not disorderly, it's orderly. You know, I know this, you know, just take a bomb, and some young people take a bomb in your bedroom, and it will take that big mess and make it perfectly orderly. That's not how it works, is it? Bing bang didn't bring order. Oh, a big bang could only bring disorder. But notice it says, verse 20. One, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise the men. Notice the key thought here. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. The Bible's telling us that one of the great problems of the day is a lack of thankfulness. And it tells us that the world in which we live, rather than worshiping the Creator, whom they ought to be thankful for and who they ought to bow down and worship, they, because of unthankfulness, their mind has been darkened, and now they're worshiping the creature. In other words, worshiping the environment, but not worshiping God. Do you ever notice this, that the hypocrisy about hugging a tree, but not hugging God? know the hypocrisy of killing a baby? But not being willing, but protecting a bird. Notice the hypocrisy. Notice the hypocrisy of rejecting God and advocating a perverse lifestyle. The Bible tells us there's one major cause of all of that. Unthankfulness. Unthankfulness. Let's think a little bit today about how we can be thankful. How can we be thankful? Let's go to our text for a minute and talk about this. How to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, this is a pretty, seemingly a pretty impossible verse. But yet it says, in everything, give thanks. Now, I suppose there might be some people that immediately, when they hear that verse, immediately they say, well, you don't know my circumstances. Maybe immediately they are thinking about some situation that they have gone through in life. And you say, how can a person be thankful in everything? Well, first of all, to be thankful in everything, a person needs to be able to see God in everything. A person needs to be able to see God in everything. Now, think of the passage of Scripture that we've been memorizing in Psalm 100, and let's think about that just for a minute. We need to be able to see God. That's the key to being able to be thankful. To be able to see God. In Psalm 100 it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, when a person is saved, now there is a great truth that becomes real in their life. And really, it even takes place before a person is saved. But the fact is that we can be thankful in everything because in every part and every situation of our life, God is working. God is working. God is always working. God is working in every situation in the life of a Christian. Every situation. James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Well, boy, even in a trial, God is working. God's working through that trial. You know what? The Bible tells us that that God loves every one of his children. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, let's turn there for a minute. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse number 6, it says, Hebrews 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are illegitimate children and not sons." Now, notice the principle. Even if God is chastising us, even if God is disciplining us, even if God is correcting us, it's a good thing. Because there is a good God who is working in our life. Thankfulness, the key to thankfulness is seeing God. Look at James chapter 1. And look at this verse, verse 17. It says, "Every gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Every good gift. What is it saying? It's saying that God is to be thanked because he is the one that, if there's any good in your life, it's because God brought it into your life. It's God that brought it into our life. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it?" Here's the question. The answer is a rhetorical question. What do you have that you didn't get from God? The answer is, everything that we have, we got from God. Everything we have, we got from God. And in the Corinthians, he's saying, whatever ability that you have, you got it from God. Any privilege that you had in life, you got it from God. Any opportunity in life that you got it from God. He's saying that we need to look at our life and we need to see God. And we need to see that God has given all these things to us. We need to see that God is working in everything in our life. And we need to see that God in everything is working good. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Turn there. And we know, Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good. You know, we have... When we look at things in our life and we don't put God in the picture, we can come to a very wrong conclusion. But we need to put God in the picture. And when we put God in the picture, we will be thankful. Now, this tells us that thankfulness is very much related to faith. Thankfulness is related to faith. Faith knows God is working. Faith believes God is working. Faith is trusting God to work. Because He is. Because He is. You know, in battle for Yanga, the missionaries in Central African Republic went to a village and came to this village with the gospel. And at one of the first meetings of in that village was one of the chief's youngest wives. And she was a very beautiful young lady. And she was the wife, the newest wife of the chief. And the missionaries preached the gospel of Christ and how... Christ came to die for them and how they need to be saved from their sin. And they need to turn from their sin and turn to Christ. And this beautiful young lady said, no, I do not want Jesus Christ. I'm beautiful. I'm the newest wife of the chief. I am looking forward to this great life as a wife of the chief. I'm not interested. Well, a number of years later, and this is a long story, I'll make it short, the missionary's errand boy, who had gotten saved and was a wonderful witness for Christ, and you can read the story of how he was greatly used of God, of winning people to Christ, going to other villages and witnessing and bringing them to Christ. Their servant boy got leprosy. And he had to be sent off to the leper colony. And of course the missionaries knew that God was in control, but they were greatly disappointed. He was a very fine young man and greatly used of God in the church. And this young man, of course, he had his own questions. He was a faithful servant for the Lord. He had been faithful to the missionaries and to the Lord and greatly used of God. And now he's going to be sent off to a leper colony. And obviously an early death was going to face him. But somehow he got the victory and he went to the leper colony and he started preaching. And he became the preacher, the missionary to the leper colony. And in somewhere not long after he went to the leper colony, the missionary, Mama Laird, and her husband went to the leper colony. And they found that there were a number of believers there. And that this young boy who had been their servant, who had been became a leper, was leading people to Christ. And so they came to leper colony, and they had a service there, and singing and preaching. And Mama Laird tells the story that while she was speaking, there was this lady, young lady, who didn't have any arms, didn't have any legs, just stumps. And she had learned to bounce on her stomach to move. And Mama Laird says this girl was just so hideous to look at. I mean, here she was just almost looking like a thing, bouncing on her stomach. And she is trying to get close to Mrs. Laird. And Mrs. Laird admitted that it grossed her out. And when she saw this girl coming, she just moved somewhere else. And yet, wherever she moved, this girl would keep coming towards her. And finally, she submitted to thought. The Lord spoke to her and says, you know, you can't be, you know, avoiding this girl. And so finally this young lady comes bouncing up, you know, squirming along the dirt there to Mama Laird. And she says to Mama Laird, you know who I am? And Mama Laird says, no, I don't know who you are. He says, I am the young lady. I'm the chief's wife. She said, I am so glad I got leprosy. Because if I would have stayed a beautiful young lady, I never would have been saved. But God allowed me to get leprosy. And I came to this leper colony. And here, I heard the gospel and I got saved. I'm so glad. I am so glad that I got leprosy. She's a thankful person because she could see that God was working. She could see that God had done something wonderful for her. You know, the key to thankfulness is seeing God. So many times we're so focused on ourselves that we not only can't see God, but we lose the blessing of being thankful. Secondly, to be thankful is, the key to being thankful is to see our dependence on others. To see our dependence on others. Romans chapter 12 is where we want to go. Romans chapter 12. This is a spiritual antidote here. This is a spiritual picture. Romans 12 and verse 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, and so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Now he's picturing the church as a body. And he's saying that every person in the body is a member one of another. And of course, we've used this illustration, the Bible uses it. And it's saying that every believer is dependent upon other believers. You know, you can be really thankful for your thumb, but cut it off, and it will be of no value. Maybe to a dog to eat, but cut it off. You know, it can't grab onto anything. It can't turn any pages. It can't feel anything. It can't do anything by itself. The thumb is completely dependent upon other people. And the Bible is telling us that we are completely dependent upon other people. You know, you could put it in a spiritual realm. You know, it's just kind of silly. But you know, what good would there be to have a pastor if there aren't any people to preach to? I mean, he could, what good would it do? You know, we sometimes, some people say, well, boy, aren't there a lot of problems? I says, well, if nobody had any problems, they wouldn't need a pastor. But you know, we're all dependent upon one another. You know, just think in a church service. You know, someone plays the organ, you get the benefit of that. Someone plays the piano, you get the benefit of that. I mean, you wouldn't want me to play the piano. You wouldn't want me to play the organ. You know, we get the benefit of it. You know, Mike Frew was here, and he played the organ, and people were just, yeah, it was such a blessing. Oh, yeah. He only spent 30-some years practicing. You know, that just didn't come out of the sky, did it? And, you know, we love our music, and we love our choir director. You know, we wouldn't have the benefit of a tremendous choir. You know what? Because there's people who sing. There's people who are willing to go to choir practice. There's people who are willing to be faithful every week. There's a director who knows, who's given his life to train for good music. It just didn't happen. Years of his life. And other people using their abilities for God. You know, we get the benefit of that. You know, we get the benefit of that. I mean, somebody cleaned this building. And you know what? It's got it cleaned every week, twice a week, more than that. You know, one of the girls in the academy, her job is to arrange the hymnals, and they do it every Monday and every Thursday. They come, they arrange the, and so when you come to the church, it doesn't look like a crowd's been in here. It looks like a church. Orderly, clean, neat. You know, somebody did that. We get the benefit of that. You know, every once in a while, there's a crew here that they straighten up the pews. Now, we could have the pews bolted down, and you wouldn't ever have to do that. But then you wouldn't be able to move the pews when you need more room up front. Or you wouldn't be able to put the pews closer together when you're going to have a crowd, and et cetera, et cetera. But there's somebody that does that. You know, it's nice to look down the aisle. Boy, it's nice and straight. You know, it's kind of, oh boy, it's kind of like wavy. You know what? Somebody did that. You know, there's somebody out in the lobby right now. Someone there's in the lobby right now so our church can be safe. So no one can just bolt into this building and do damage. There's somebody that sacrifices their life every service to be in the lobby. You know, there's people in the nursery. And you know why they're in the nursery? Because they want to get out of the service. No, they're in the nursery. You know why? They're in the nursery because moms and dads need to be in church, not distracted by their children and oogling and ogling over a little baby. They need to be in church so they can become the person that they need to be rather than escaping it through having to take care of some child, but give their full attention to the Lord. You know, somebody has to do that. And there's probably about anywhere from 4 to 6 people every service that are outside of this service serving. You know, that make it possible. And, you know, not only that, but it make it possible that I can preach. And it makes it possible so that people can hear the Bible without being distracted. I mean, there's a lot of people that make just a service happen. I mean, we're just talking about 1 hour. What about all the people? You know, I told the young people one day in class, I said, how would you like it if, and I just named a few kids, how would you like it if Wyatt and Luke and Micah, and I don't know who else I said, how'd you like it if they were rebels? You can almost feel the indigestion in their stomach. Just the thought that these young men who are godly and on fire for God, what a blessing it is for them is produced by their spirituality. You know, we are dependent on other people. Well, how would you like it if Mr. Griffin decided to get bitter that he didn't get enough attention for all he's done, and he stays home at church, from church? How would you like that? You know the tenseness and the disappointment that would be in this auditorium if such a thing happened. The Bible says we are members one of another. You know, we are not so great that we can prosper spiritually on our own. In fact, we are able to prosper spiritually because of others. We are able to prosper because of others. And to be a thankful person, you need to be thinking about others. You need to be thinking about others and what they are doing for you, what they have done for you, what they are doing for you, how they are serving you. We're not independent. We can try to be independent in our rebellion, but the fact is we are dependent, aren't we? You know, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, let's go there. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. It says, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable for God, before God. That's a word that we don't use much today, requite. But it means let them pay back their parents. Let them pay back. Now, let's see. I ask a question here, okay? Anybody under 15, I want you to look this way, okay? All right. Okay, I want to ask you this question. Okay, how many of you pay the heat bill? No, don't be lying in church. How many of you buy the groceries? How many of you pay the mortgage on the house or the rent? How many of you pay the car insurance? How many of you buy the car for your parents? How many of you change your own diapers? Fact is, none of you did. None of you've done any of those. We need to look at others. We need to see what others are doing for us on an everyday, hour-by-hour basis in our life. Look at others. Requite your parents. How can a person that their parents are providing all these things for them, how could they not be thankful? And yet, we live in a day of what? Unthankfulness. You know, it was kind of interesting. I was in Hungary, and Zoli Kish, I stayed with him and his wife, and the next day we were invited to go to his parents' house for lunch. And so we had lunch there, and I was struck by the fact that after the meal, everyone went to Mrs. Kish and hugged her and gave her a kiss and said, thank you for the meal. I didn't, but... but here was the husband, got up and went to his wife and said, thank you. And Zoli got up. And he went to his mother and said, thank you. And Johanna went to her mother-in-law and gave her a hug and said, thank you. And you know, I thought, you know, that's pretty becoming. You know, pretty becoming. Look at others. Look at others. You know, we're going to have Thanksgiving meal. And you know, Thanksgiving is the thing that made me decide that I was going to for sure get married. Yeah, I was at the university. And we had an apartment. And there was four guys in the apartment. And we were all going to make Thanksgiving dinner. And we did. We had turkey, and we had mashed potatoes, and we had stuffing, and we had cranberry sauce, and we had dessert. I mean, we had everything. And you know, it took hours and hours and hours to make that meal. And we sat down, and we were done in 15 minutes. And then we had to wash the dishes. I said, this is not for me. This is not for me. Thankfulness, looking at others. But you know, there's another key to thankfulness. and that is, which is related, is looking at ourselves. Looking at ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse number 9. Actually, not verse number 9, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know what? I gave you the wrong reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. Here's the resurrection chapter. And Paul is talking about how he was able to be called an apostle because he saw the resurrected Christ. And that's why we don't have any apostles today, because nobody has seen with their own eyes the resurrected Christ. But notice it says in verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." He said, I'm not meet, I'm not worthy to be called an apostle. He says, but by the grace of God I am what I am. You know, when we really look at ourselves and tell the honest truth about ourselves, we can only say, you know, I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be forgiven. I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve to be saved. And the only reason that I am saved is because of the grace of God. We have to look at ourselves. We have to say, I am what I am only by the grace of God. It's not because of me. It's because of God. It's because of others. If I was left to myself without God intervening in my life, I would have ruined my life. I would ruin my life. I would be on my way to hell. And I would be oblivious to that reality. You know, we need to see ourselves. You know, I think we need to just sometimes at night go out and look at the stars. And just look and look and look. And just think that those stars are light years away. And here we are, just as tiny as could be. And who are we? And the psalmist says, when I see the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens, what is man that thou art mindful of him? God is so good to us. He is so great. He is so powerful. He is so loving. We are so small. We are so insignificant. We are so sinful, yet God is so good. Praise is comely for the righteous. Now, you know what? If you haven't come to the Lord, if you haven't come to the Lord, you would be stuck. You'd be stuck in an unthankful world, an unthankful age, with an unthankful spirit, because that's what we're like. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Isn't it amazing the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing he says when he says that about being filled with the Spirit is that singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks. Isn't it amazing how God gives us a thankful spirit as we walk with Him? Let's take some time to think about all the things that God is doing in our life. Let's time to have faith and say, you know, everything that has come in my life, God has a plan that's bigger than I even know. God is so big. And He has done so much in our life, and He is doing every day. Others. We're surrounded by other people who are ministering to us in every way, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually. We are surrounded by people who are investing their life in us. We need to be thankful for that. We couldn't do it without them. We need to look at ourselves and see the grace of God. We need to see how big God is and how little we are in comparison, and be thankful at and amazed at that He would love us lost sinners. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, I remember a number of years ago. There's two testimonies. One that we had at Thanksgiving one time that just were just such a blessing. One lady came to Thanksgiving service, and she had this list. Must have been this long. And she read through the whole list. And there's another man who came to Thanksgiving service, and he had a big list like that. And most of the things were on were about spiritual things. But they were thinking of all these people that were ministering to them spiritually. It's so sweet. Such a blessing. We have to ask ourselves today, are we thankful? Are we looking at others? And are we thinking about others and how they're ministering to us, and they are all that they are doing in our lives? We need to look at God and think of all that He is doing, and know that He is doing something even when we can't see it. And then we need to see ourselves and how unworthy we are of it. You know, thankfulness is one of those things that is transforming. You know, haven't you ever felt that? You know, come to just because it's close by. Isn't it just a great thing when you're getting ready for Thanksgiving service and you write down this big list of all the things you're thankful for? Isn't that transforming? Thankfulness is transforming. You know, young person, you know, if you are struggling with selfishness, you're struggling with bitterness, you're struggling with pride, just take a list of all the things you should be thankful for, and it'll transform your life. It will deliver you from the curse of all those other sins. Thankfulness is a wonderful thing. I realize this is long before Thanksgiving, but maybe this will make our Thanksgiving better. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. In everything, give thanks. You know, the very thing that is the issue that whatever it is in your life, come to the Lord and see the Lord and trust the Lord so that you can walk away from that and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is what God wants in our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you today that we can just take a few moments to review your blessings, to review your sovereignty, to review that, Lord, we are just benefactors of your great and many benefits. And that, Lord, we're surrounded by people. We are surrounded by people who minister to us. And, Lord, we're surrounded by people who help us spiritually, who help us in multitudes of ways. And in the things that are the most important in life. Lord, might in some way today the spirit of thankfulness deliver us. And might we look at you anew and afresh. Deliver us from a day of unthankfulness. Help our young people, Lord, not to be caught up in the spirit of this age. Help them to see it as evil. Help them to look to you, to have a thankful spirit. While our heads are bowed and eyes closed, you're here today. You say, you know, the most important thing needs to take place in my life to make me thankful is to be born again, and I haven't been saved. I haven't been born again. And Pastor, pray for me, because I know that God's working in my heart. Maybe you've been at kids' club, maybe you've been at Sunday school, and you know you're not saved, but you need to be saved. And the Lord is speaking to your heart today. Say, you know, I'm not saved, but I need to be saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to know that. I need to know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today? You're here today and you say, you know, yeah, although it's a very simple message, the Lord has been speaking to me about being more thankful. And I know all of us ought to be. But the Lord is in a very special way help you see that is a great need and a great key in your life. To be thankful. And God has spoken to your heart today. And say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart. I see that there's a real need of victory in my life. And a great thing that God is speaking to me about today. Okay? Amen. Number of different hands. Praise the Lord for that. Okay? Amen. Lord, thank you for your word. Pray that you'd just continue to work in our hearts. And bless in a very special way, Lord, those who have met with you, responded to you, allowed you to work in their heart, and they are leaving here today with a thankful spirit. And we can only rejoice in you that you are a God who ministers to us and heals us and builds our life. And so might you be brought the glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.